Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
And Joe at RT.ie. And another mystery we're going to try and solve now. A number of people have contacted us to say they have been sent or come across images of our own Mike Murphy. People remember Mike from the live mic from his wonderful radio incarnations, be it in the morning or be it in the afternoon on the arts show on radio. He's not just an entertainer, he's a well-known singer. He did brilliant candid cameras. The most memorable one that most people have seen 10 times is him with Gabriel Mary, born in Trinity College. He's an art connoisseur. But Mike,
hello, Joe.
Do you know... There is images going around, Facebook, etc., saying, showing your manly and handsome visage, saying that it seems to be a clip or a screen grab from you on with Tommy Tiernan. And you're leaning over to say something to Tommy, and a group of whoever have hijacked this image to say he didn't know that the microphone was on. And they are arguing that to try and get you into their site is what they're saying, that you were leaning over to Tommy, telling him on the QT how to invest money and earn millions.
Isn't that amazing? I tell you what, I haven't seen it, Joe. Okay. I haven't seen it, but over the last kind of month or so, people have been saying to me, I see the thing of you on is it Facebook? I'm not too sure where.
It is, yeah.
About some investment or something or other, and that you were on the Tommy Tiernan show and you were talking about it. And I was saying, look, there's nothing to it. It's absolute makeup. And so I met a pal of mine for lunch here, you know, and I said to him, will you bring the damn thing along, because I haven't seen it. But somebody from RTE had told me this morning that a person had been in touch and said they had invested in whatever the hell this thing is.
It is. Okay.
And like I say, I don't know what it is, but I might tell you, I'm amused at the idea that in the middle of an interview with Tommy Tiernan, I'd lean across and say, here's somebody I'm making a quick buck, Tommy. Why don't you give up the telly and just show you how to make some real money. Okay. So, I mean, the idea that I would do that is ludicrous. So, as you know, the idea that you'd have your mobile phone on when you're doing an interview is ludicrous.
It's luring people in, you see.
Yeah, I mean, look, Joe, listen, I tell you, that's the problem. Until I heard that today, I was, because I have about as much interest now in social media. I've never went on them. My son Mark said to me not too long ago, he said, Dad, it's just as well you weren't around when social media wasn't around when you were on. He said, it's driven you mad. And he's right. I would never have gone on social media, and I would have been as narky as hell about what people were probably saying about me. So it just wouldn't have suited me. But I haven't seen this thing, but I am concerned. I mean, Joe, you know, because through the program that you're doing, there are people out there who, one, might be gullible, but even more importantly, might be vulnerable. Yeah. And who might say, because this man that they've seen on television or they've met or whatever is recommending it, maybe I should do it. And I just want to absolutely state, this is a complete, total and utter fake and fabrication. I have not been involved in it in any way. I don't know what you do in these situations. I've heard about these kind of things before. But if I said I'm angry, that's not true. Irked by it. And also very, very concerned lest anybody would think it was true. It is utterly a scam. Is literally what it is.
But you see, I think, in one sense, Mike, it is quite smart. Because people, people know you either through your television, media, radio career.
Yeah.
But they also know that you left RTE willingly, by the way. And you left, like the rest of us, you left RTE willingly and went into business. So there's a business hat as well. People are saying, hang on, that's Mike Murphy.
Yeah, that's right.
Blah, blah, blah. Anyway, but you're saying it's a scam, nothing to do with you. Please don't put money into it.
Oh my God. And look, Joe, it's a complete scam. Please, anybody who has encountered it, would you please ignore it? I mean, I hope We tried to download it at lunchtime here, having lunch, and my friend John wasn't able to do so. Is it gone? I don't know.
No, it's but, still there. It's still there.
Is it still there? I haven't read it, Joe. So I don't know how much is involved in it. I don't know how, you know, what sort of a portrayal there is of me. The idea of me telling Tommy Tiernan halfway through the show, I can't show how to make a few books.
Do you remember leaning over to Tommy at any stage?
I could have been leaning over to tell him his fly was open, but I don't think I was even. No, I don't remember leaning over. Did I lean over? I have absolutely no recollection. But it certainly wasn't to impart some financial information to him. That is, or give him a tip for a raise. No, I don't know where they got it, but it's a bit mean, isn't it? All the same, you think about it.
Well, they've done it in different ways to other RTE current personalities. In February last year, Miriam O'Callaghan received an unreserved apology from Facebook.
She
hired Paul Tweed, who's Ireland's foremost. Anyone hears his name, they run.
Did she get any money, Joe?
But Mike, before Paul Tweed gets money out of me, I say he's a very well-known writer. He's absolutely brilliant at his job, right?
I didn't mean to say people
run when they hear his name. Miriam hired Paul Tweed. Went into the High Court. Okay.
Oh no.
Yeah. Untrue adverts that were posted on Facebook. The adverts contained various misleading and defamatory headlines, wrongly suggesting that Miss O'Callaghan has left her job with RTÉ's Primetime. And Miss O'Callaghan said she had nothing to do with the adverts, which are linked to offers for skincare products.
Wow. Now, you see, that's dangerous stuff. It really is dangerous stuff.
Now, they wouldn't. It's also instructive that they didn't use your face to try and sell skincare products.
Yeah, and that kind of hurts me a little bit too, to tell you the truth.
Okay, well said. It's a scam. It's a scam, guys.
A total scam. Please don't go near it.
But you're not going to hire. You're not going to go to Belfast and hire Paul Tweed, are you?
I don't think I am. Okay. But on the other hand, I don't want it to stay.
Okay,
if it's still there, I don't want it to be there. Do you know what I mean?
Okay,
I have to find out what the heck do I do about it.
Well, we'll tell, with your permission, of course, we'll tell Facebook that you want it taken down.
I'd be very grateful if you would tell them that. And that I have if I lean forward to you, Joe, and whisper to you, I have a good idea where the money could go if there's money.
I remember last time you leaned forward into my ear, we were the company. I think you were looking for money off me. You were saying it's your round. You said something to that effect.
God, I'll tell you, I must have done very well if I got a few bob out of you to buy a round. That's for sure.
Are you still, Mike? Are you still? I mentioned art connoisseur. Are you still? Do you still do the galleries and?
Not as much as I used to, but yeah, I it has been a wonderful part of my life. I mean, it really has been. And you know, when I often think about my kids when they were young, and I used to bring them around the galleries every Saturday morning. They eventually got totally fed up,
of course,
and told them I'd probably have to go on my own. But it stood to them, and also it's that long that I've been going around galleries and looking at art, and I still derive such pleasure out of it. Because, you know, these are things that, when you get older and that you say, yeah, it's wonderful. And then we've a few paintings at home, and you just derive such pleasure out of having them around.
Because we had a call today, but I don't know what to do. Somebody pointed out, I don't know whether you know, there is a Van Gogh, Van Gogh or whatever, the correct pronunciation, in National Archives, but there's also a Van Gogh experience on up in Artane at the minute.
Well, do you know what, Joe? We were just, myself and my pal here, we were just talking about it over lunch. I went out to see it a couple of weeks ago, and it is brilliant.
Absolutely
and
brilliant.
I absolutely loved it now. And I had never experienced virtual reality before. And I had been saying to my wife, Annie, that I'd really love to experience it. I don't know what it's like and all that. and they have a virtual reality segment. You were there, weren't you?
I went last week, yeah.
And do you know the virtual reality?
Brilliant,
You pay an extra fiver. It was, and I sat through it. It's about 7-10 minutes.
Yeah.
And it's a wonderful experience. I said to the guy afterwards, hey, listen, that was brilliant. Can I have another go? And he let me have another go on the house. But, you know, and I absolutely loved it. It was brilliant.
It's a pity.
I'm so impressed.
It's a bit hidden. It's opposite the Artane Shopping Centre. It's a big industrial. Now, people will remember the front part, I think it's now a car park, is the ill-fated Stardust. But behind that, in a nondescript warehouse, is the Van Gogh or Van Gogh or whatever you got experience. And I agree with you. I didn't know you'd been there.
Man.
I thought it's absolutely...
Yeah.
It's a hidden gem at the minute. On the base of that, this is where somebody then contacted programs that have been out that thing in Artane. It's absolutely brilliant, like you said. And they said, so did you realise next week is the 170th anniversary of Van Gogh or Van Gogh's birth? In other words, he died very young. And the point they were making was they only realised that he lived in this great world, this incredible artist. He lived relatively recently on this earth. He was born, as I say, in 1873 or whatever. Yeah. So anyway, and could we do anything? I've no idea how we can do art on a radio programme, but we might try.
But you did it
for long enough.
But I'll tell you what, though. I mean, you go around that exhibition and you see what a wonderful artist he was. And then you think, the poor, unfortunate man, he only sold one painting in his entire career. Yeah. And now look at the prices his works are fetching. And he wasn't regarded highly. Even Gauguin didn't regard him that highly. And of course, he and Gauguin, as you would have seen in that show, they didn't get on that well at all.
Yeah.
And Gauguin was shocked when, after a row, he cut off part of his ear. Yeah, you know, I mean, he was a sad, wonderful, wonderful man. You know, it's so sad. Anybody living in Dublin, and I mean, you don't want to be concentrating on Dublin or anything, but if people are thinking of coming to Dublin, I would recommend. God, I sound like a commercial.
But Mike, were you sceptical of it beforehand?
Yeah, I was.
I was.
And I absolutely was. And I was thinking, this is going to be a kind of a making a few bucks out of this poor, unfortunate man, you know. And I didn't feel that at all. I thought it was a wonderful tribute to the man, his life and his talent.
Very educational. What I loved about it, on the day I was there, I would hope to be more people there, but on the day I was there, there was school kids, and the fact that it's not an art gallery, and the fact that they can run around, they can go across from one painting to another was fantastic. The fact that there's an educational room at the end, you saw that, where all the kids are encouraged to paint themselves in the style of, and but the virtual reality.
A knockout.
And I was thinking, Mike, anybody, it's the first time I've done VR. We're like two
that
lads.
That was mine too. Yeah,
we're like the two lads and the Muppets here. But
Jossers.
But I
and
thought
I'm admiring you saying VR. You're able to say it.
No, but I just thought anybody who's, for example, in a wheelchair or doesn't have great mobility to put on that headset. And takeoff is just magnificent.
Well, you know, by coincidence, Joe, the day I was there, there was a van with about 5 people with disability and they were in wheelchairs.
Brilliant.
I saw 3 of them afterwards doing the VR, the virtual reality. And I just thought, that is fantastic.
But it's
a treat. It's behind, by the way, isn't it? Lidl, it's behind. It's behind the local.
Oh, the Lidl is there. Yeah.
Behind it.
Mike.
Yeah.
Everything in Ireland now is behind Lidl. Everything.
Yeah, that's right.
I was out in the Seamus Ennis Centre in the Knoll last week. So that's only the nearest landmark to the Seamus is the Lidl in Balbriggan. But Mike, your name and the late late, it just hasn't been mentioned.
Oh, Joe, and you know something, if you don't mind my saying so, I don't hear your name mentioned, and I'll tell you what I'll do. I will put in a good word with Ryan before he closes the door your behalf.
But long before, you and Gay, but long before Ryan or indeed PK came along, you're the same vintage, you were doing a weekly, is it such a tyranny doing a weekly television programme?
Yeah, well, I mean, there's no doubt about it. I actually, at the time, I did what Miriam did. I said beforehand, I haven't any interest whatsoever in doing it when Gay was giving it up. Yeah. And I said, no interest whatsoever. Now, would I have been asked? I haven't a clue. But the idea that I'd give up every, was it a Friday or a Saturday? Give up every week of the bloody year and to do that. And you know, there was kind of, I kind of said, no, it's too much of a hassle, too much, you know, you're grinding your way through the whole thing, you know. I did say many years ago when Ryan was going to take it over, I said to Ryan, oh yeah, we went out for a meal, and I think he said to me, did he even ask me my advice? I don't remember, but I did say to, because he did, he sent me a text a couple of days ago, and he said, you remember you said to me, and I did, I said, listen here now, the minute you stop enjoying it, that's the moment you go. Okay. Now, I'm not saying that Brian stopped enjoying it, he said, he reminded me of what I said to him all those years ago.
That's interesting. And
you know yourself. I mean, look at you. Look at the wonderful entertainment you're giving yourself every day, listening to the people of Ireland giving out socks about things. You know what I mean?
That's just... And
you go home to June and you say, God, I'm sick of them complaining. No, do you?
No, I don't. It's a privilege. No, seriously, I do enjoy it. It's irrelevant, but I love going
I know you do,
Because it's very different every single day. Mike, do you think Gay regretted doing it so long? The late late.
Do you know a funny thing? Gay, one, he felt when he was giving it up that he said, it's time for me to go. Yeah. Two, a few years later, he said to me, do you know what? I really regret. I could have gone on for another few years. I think he quoted, was it Carson or somebody? I think he referenced Johnny Carson or somebody in America. He loved Carson, yeah. And I reckon, and he said that he said, I think I could have gone on another few years, you know. But in truth, Joe, you know, I mean, it was his life. You know that.
Yeah, I know that.
We both know that it was Gay's life. It was his life. And I think, you know, maybe afterwards he kind of thought, God, I did give a little too much to the broadcasting and all that, you know. I mean, you kind of skip along the surface of it like I did myself. Yeah, and it's, you know, you're doing something that you kind of enjoy. I don't imagine you'd be that interested in doing the Late Late Show. I may be wrong, Joe.
Wrong.
Maybe you've already been asked to do it.
Wrong shape, wrong size, wrong gender. I think, and I said it to one of my managers in here today in a different conversation when we were talking about the Late Late. By the way, I wasn't being asked, but I said, I think it's a really big burden to place on one person's shoulders.
Yeah.
And I was saying to them, would you consider, or the management in here, consider giving it as a two-hander even, where people could, where you take the worry off one person and you say, you need chemistry and all that, carry on. But anyway, I think it's a incredible burden.
But also, Joe, the other thing
But
is
a great
this,
privilege,
you know,
a great privilege.
Great privilege. But the other thing is this too, I mean, the way everything has fragmented, I mean, but people often say to me about, look, at the time I was doing the live, Mike and Gay was doing the Late Late, and at that time, we'd be number one 1 week and they'd be number one the next week. But we were getting the best part of a million per week.
Yeah, I know.
Do you know what I mean? We were getting the best part of a million viewers per week.
That was just your salary. No, you're right.
That's why I'm able to give so much advice to other people about it.
That's why your house is coming down with Van Gogh's.
But I mean, I'm just saying it. There was nothing else for people to watch, let's be honest about it. It's a different world.
You're in good fettle, apart from someone trying to use your face and your image and your reputation to invest.
I haven't seen the darn thing, and to be honest with you, I don't want to, you know. And the idea of social media, I mean, it repels me. The idea that I would be interested in what somebody had for their breakfast, or that their poodle can now say mama.
Jerry Ring from now, Jerry, we're not turning this into a Mike Murphy tribute show.
are we not? No, I just heard it already, Joe.
Yeah, go on, Jerry. Go ahead. Yes, Jerry.
I heard the voice and I thought it was a recording because his voice hasn't changed in 40 years. I'm nearly 60.
That is so true.
Jeez, you want to see my face, Jerry?
Well, no, I've seen your face, but only recently we were watching reruns of Mike and all the tricks he got up to. We, as a family, we sat around the television waiting every week to watch his fantastic program. And he has never been replaced ever by anybody on any channel. Seriously.
What was the one you wanted to remind Mike of?
No,
the Greyhound.
He told, I was on his radio program and he was recounting funny stories, and he told a story about a greyhound that was being transported from Ireland over to the UK.
Yeah.
he couldn't control. I think it was a new snippet that they were going through.
You're absolutely right. And I remember that Helen Quinn was in the studio with me, and she was reading out kind of new snippets, and one of them was about this greyhound that was going to be transported across the channel to a race, and at the door of the plane opened underneath him, and he fell out, and she carried on, you see. But all I could think of, she carried on, you see, and then I started to kind of snigger and laugh, and I couldn't stop myself, and all I could think of was the trainer saying, as soon as that trap opens, out you go.
and the poor animal
goes. And carried on. And then she started laughing. It actually was very funny, but completely. And we shouldn't have done it, but couldn't help it. I just thought the whole thing was so funny.
If you could take out that clip and play it, because it was absolutely hilarious. But as I said, Mike Murphy, what an institution, and I think he's ready to come back to TV and radio.
I might come back
and do the Late Late Show. I might come back and take on the Late Late Show. They could wheel me out every night. They could wheel me out to do it. Actually, Joe, you could lead me out, actually. The two of us could do it as your two-hander. Do you know what I mean?
Two-hander.
What do you think? You could be the younger version.
Okay,
I could handle the older bits. You know?
I could use Miriam's skincare products that are false.
Get Miriam to come on and talk about skincare. That would be a great interview. You know,
okay, your first guest.
Can you go now, Mike? And thanks.
What do you mean, can I?
Thanks indeed. Have you any ideas on how we do a program on Van Gogh and to mark his 170th birthday next week? Hey, you used to do art on. You did. I remember you did.
I did. Yeah.
Ruskin.
Maybe we should, as a nation, club together and buy a Van Gough painting.
We've won, haven't we?
Yeah, we have won.
Get another one, yeah. I don't know. Is there one up north? Is there any in private collections? I don't know.
I tell you what, maybe we could save and not give RTE any government support and use the money to buy a Van Gogh. How about that?
Yeah, replace.
I tell you what, the high salaries that everybody in RTE gets.
So you're saying replace Ryan Tuberty, Joe Duffy, and Miriam with an oil painting.
Yeah. Joe, you don't by any chance, you with all the money you're making, you don't have any tips for investments or anything
I don't. Stay out of your company, generally. Mike, before you go, there's loads of stories. Forget about it. They're all coming in here. They want to know about trapping gay in Trinity College. You've told them stories of off. But somebody's saying what they love.
Okay, listen, come here. Can I tell you, by the way, before, just on that, when you were asking about gay and what did he think and all that kind of stuff, a few years ago, the pair of us were walking along the road, not very quickly, quite slowly, the pair of us, and a woman came over to us and she said, the pair of you, you know, the Trinity College, and how much she laughed, it was a scream, and we walked on, and there was a bit of a silence as we walked on, and the next minute Gay says, in a very tight voice, and you'd remember that, I hope that's not all I'm going to be remembered for.
The two of you. Mike Murphy, go to Margaret. Yeah. Mike Slan. Slan, Mike.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.